Blog Talk Radio.
In a world of fake everything, one thing that's hard to find is real Christian people. They're out there, and we just happen to know a few. Sit back, relax, as I, Red Words Lou, interview Christians just like us.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. over here in Cape Cod, on the east coast of the United States of America, where it's currently 39 degrees, amen, and dark, with a chance of Christ's return, amen. Hey, tonight we have a very special guest, a special guest to me. It's an old Army buddy of mine, a person that I was in the Army with, and I've kept in touch with over the years, and he's going to be coming on and giving us his testimony of what Christ is doing in his life. Give us a little background of, you know, what he did from a kid and going into the military, and then during the time span from the military till now, and what he has going on in the future, amen. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a little song, allow him to get in here and give you 3 minutes. I'm going to play a song by Scotty E. from Reigning Redemption. Scotty and Shauna E., they have their own music ministry. They tend to be on the speed little time side of things, but this isn't too speedish. Amen. Amen. So if you want, you can go over there, Reigning Redemption. com, check them out. You can go to Scotty E on Patreon, patreon.com/Scotty E, and you can listen to his music. But I'm going to play this song here, and we'll give my buddy Kevin some time to get in here, and then we'll bring him on in, and we'll have a great show in Jesus' name. So here we go. This is Forward Appointment by Scotty E.
Thank you.
Amen. There you go. Forward appointment by Scott E. from Reigning Redemption. Amen. So I got my friend Kevin here on the line. We're going to bring him on in and introduce him to you. Amen. So here he is. Let me get him in here. Hey, Kevin. How are you? You there?
Yeah. Hey, Lou. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How's things down there? You're in Florida. So how's the weather down in Florida going for you?
Beautiful, actually. It's been a little back and forth with the cold, but got the windows open today. It's about 70-some degrees, I think. 75, 77, so...
Well, that's a lot warmer than it is here.
Yeah.
Up here in the old New England with 40 degrees. So praise God, man. So I'll tell the audience right now, I've known you for, geez, a long time. I mean, at least since we were about 18 years old or so. We were in the Army together. And, you know, and when we were in the Army, you know, we served God together, and then we went on our separate ways. We sort of kept in touch here and there, and then recently we sort of started conversing a little more and more. What I want to do is let you tell the people out there, you know, a little bit about yourself, just a little condensed version about yourself, and then we'll start, you know, we'll go back into like when you were a kid and stuff like that. But just a quick 1 minute thing about you. Who are you? Who is Kevin?
I am just a guy who does his very best to serve our God in the best way that I know how and try not to be a knucklehead. I've been married for 31 years. I have two beautiful children, two daughters, and I have two beautiful grandchildren.
Amen. Amen. So, and not if it's prying or anything like that, but what do you do for work?
I'm an engineer for a company called Express Scripts. I package software. I deploy software. I've been an engineer for... oh, gosh, better than 25 years now, something like that.
All right. So just to lay a little groundwork down there, you know, so people get an idea of who they're talking to and things of that nature. So we're talking about Jesus Christ tonight, and I want to have you give your testimony to everyone that's out there, and we pray that, you know, your testimony might touch somebody out there, maybe bring them to the Lord, or maybe somebody renew their faith in the Lord. Amen. So why don't we start off with a prayer. Just let me do a quick prayer here. Father, we just come before you, Lord God. We praise you for this time between me and Kevin and everyone that's listening, Lord God. God, I pray the words that come from Kevin's mouth will touch the hearts of people listening this night. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, tell us a little bit about you, like when you were young and stuff. I mean, were you just like a normal kid? Were you like the nerd that, you know, was a bookworm? Or were you just like the run-of-the-mill kid out there running around doing your own thing?
As far back as I can remember, I have always, always, always had an affinity and a passion for music. And I thought, as you know, I always thought that would be what I would do for, you know, from the time I was very young. I remember learning to play an instrument at age three, four, something like that. And I'm in my 50s now, and I don't play as much, but I still do play, and I've been doing it a lot of years in several different, you know, configurations and settings. So, but that's what I always thought I was going to do. But as I've come to find out that there's, I think God has different plans for me. You know, maybe I had to come full circle, as I call it, my pivotal influential moments of key figures that have kind of interacted or become a part of my life. And I remember early on, 5, 6, 7, going to church. The priest there, Father Ryan, very influential on me as a kid, and so much to the point where our babysitter, my brother and I have a brother who's 18 months younger than me, and I remember the babysitter, because my parents had asked me, they said, you might need to talk to your son. He's talking about he wants to be a priest when he grows up. So it happened way, way back, and several moments through my life of living up north, and then we moved to Florida, and again another priest influential in my life, helping me out of situations, because at that point I was a typical knucklehead teenager who thought he knew everything that there is to know in the world and didn't want to listen to anybody otherwise. So he introduced me to a missionary bishop from South America who absolutely in 1979 gave me a living Bible. I sat there and listened to this guy for, I don't know, a couple hours, and I was just absolutely just floored with what he had to say. And because we take for granted in this country, you know, little things like lights, running water, a house, you know, stuff like that. So 1979, that man made a definite impact on my life. And of course, God wasn't done with me then. You know, fast forward, I join the Army. I end up in boot camp in the middle of, as you and I can remember fondly, World War II barracks. And you and I, for whatever reason, hit it off immediately, and we've been friends for 30-some-odd years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the ability to work with the chaplain there, play music at some of the rest homes, the nursing homes, in church. And, of course, you and I know then we became part of the Vineyard Church out there that my wife and I were married in. I played on the worship team. We were involved in a lot of ministry there. And then at the end of the deployment, you head back your way and I head back my way. We didn't stay in touch regularly for a few years, but it was always out of the blue. You know, you pop up, you turn up in my driveway one day, and it absolutely, yeah, I mean, it made my whole year, okay? So going from kind of the, as folks, I know you've got listeners around the world, and the terminology could probably be the same, but I kind of learned both denominational and non-denominational of how people do church and ministries. And you know, my wife and I were involved in Compassion International and sponsoring children for a lot of years, and
yeah,
that opened up a whole another avenue of approach for us to be able to reach out into communities and, you know, try to make their lives just a little bit better, which, you know, that's the goal, is if you can talk to somebody or minister to somebody, plant a seed, and you may not see the immediate results, but a year or two or several years down the road, that person in turn comes to know Jesus, and then they share it with somebody else. That's what it's all about. Like we said earlier, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about sharing.
Right.
And whatever we can do to bring people to know the truth, you know?
Amen.
So,
amen.
So anyhow, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So at a young age, 4 years old or so, I'm going to assume that they're wrong.
Yeah, I believe if I, unless my figures are off, I believe I was about age 4 and I wanted to play the viola so bad, but you know, back in those days you had to do the whole rental plan or buy plan and to be able to afford an instrument that was like many hundreds of dollars. So I was disappointed, yeah, but then my dad and mom took me out to Sears Roebuck, they used to be called back in the day, and they bought me my first guitar, and I was absolutely in love. My uncle played, my grandfather played, several of my other cousins played, and I learned from watching them. I didn't know how to read music. I didn't even know what a chord was. I just watched intently and memorized what they did and tried to mimic that on the guitar.
Right, right. Because I know when we were in the military, one thing that bothered me so much is you would be standing there just jamming away, man. And I'm talking to you, and you're talking back, but yet you're just jamming away. I'm like, can you stop? How are you doing that? You know, multitasking like that. So, yeah, I mean,
well, it's a left brain, right brain thing. You know, where I have that ability maybe to do that, other people can be able to do, you know, multifunction, multitasking, different activities. One maybe has nothing to do with the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a thing that creative people tend to have, but then you can also get very boxed into because you get very singularly focused, if you will. Like,
okay,
I spent a lot of years trying to be, for lack of a better term, I wanted, even though I was playing Christian music, I wanted to be a star. That's what I thought I needed to be. And I didn't think my life was going to be complete without being a star or a rock star or being able to travel and play in city after city after city. Well, you know, where the rubber met the road was getting my guys, my band home from a gig. We opened for Bride, we opened for Legend 7, we opened for a bunch of signed bands, and one particular show, trying to get my guys home, I remember specifically going to an ATM and withdrawing cash out just to put money in the gas tank to get all my guys back home to where we all lived. And I knew then that, you know, that was short-lived and it wasn't going to, you know, because we had Jessica then, my oldest. And we were dragging, putting a baby in the back of a pickup truck in the back seat, not in the back, you know, in a car seat behind my wife. And we're traipsing all over the countryside and playing here, there, and everywhere. Whoever would have us. And you remember, I've told you that story a dozen times. You'd show up for a gig and they'd be like, oh, well, we'll take up a love offering for you. And sometimes we were lucky if we got $2.15 for all four of us to, plus the wives and everything. It wasn't even enough to eat. So anyhow, that's when I decided that it was time to come up with some other option. So I went to school, got my college degrees, and started down the engineering path, and still played music, but I kind of did the worship team thing in many, many churches for many, many years. And pivotal people in my life kind of influenced me. And now where I'm at, I can definitely see that I have come almost full circle around, because where I started all those years ago in an Episcopal church, talking to a priest and a bishop about mission work and reaching out to people, I think I think God let me do my thing for a while until, you know, you get that slap in the back of the head, if you will, and say, hey, are you tired of doing what you want to do? And you're going to sit back and listen to me now and let me, you know, like I told you, I'm firmly in the back seat, letting him drive and steer my path, if you will, if that makes sense.
Right. No, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. So when you were younger, and I'm just trying to sort of establish a timeline. I hate to keep going back and stuff like that. But now, were you just what you would call maybe just a good person? Were you hell on wheels like I was, where you're out, you know, doing drugs and drinking and just totally being disobedient and rebellious?
Oh, absolutely. What was, Absolutely. Oh yeah. That was
okay.
I'll tell this story. At the age of even though I was baptized, even though I was confirmed in the church, I fell away, and it's funny how I can look back now and moments in my life where things could have gone really bad and gone off the rails, somebody got involved in my life or influenced my life and kind of nudged me back onto the road again and got me heading in the right direction. But yeah, I thought I knew it all. I thought I had the world in my hands, and I knew exactly, you know, what I was going to do, because back in those days, like I told you, I thought I was going to be a rock star. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. So.
Amen. Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah. So, I consider it normal, but some people don't consider it normal. It's just because I went through it, you know, with the rebellious thing and everything like that. So, now, before you went into the military, were you still like that? Or did you sort of, you know, get a little tame? Because I know you weren't married when you went into the military. But were you still in that rebellious stage going into the military? Or did you actually come out of it?
Oh, yeah. No, I can vividly remember graduating from high school was the last time. Actually, it was 3 days before we graduated. We had this great big party. And my friends, some of my dearest friends that I graduated high school with, we had a party at his house, and somebody almost died from drinking and smoking and doing drugs, too many drugs. Graduation night, somebody dove off the second story hotel balcony, and I didn't know about it at the time. I found out about it later, but needless to say, at age 18 or 17 and a half, basically, the three of us were sitting on the beach, stone cold sober, playing music till the sun came up. That was the last time, 3 days before that, I touched anything, drugs or otherwise. And for many, many years, until I started drinking beer maybe or whatever, I absolutely did nothing. Me personally, I don't believe in it. I think it's a path to a very bad ending. I've seen too many people get messed up on drugs and alcohol. I've had it in my own family, alcoholics. They died from it.
Yep.
And it's just, it's a passion of mine is, I want to see those people get away from that addiction, and there is help, and there is, you know, we can start with with help from Jesus all the way through to if you go out there and get help with, you know, the community or therapists or whatever. There's a lot of places that can help people get out of that same activity over and over and over again because they feel that there's nothing better in their life. There's nothing to look forward to, and they go on that same merry-go-round, round and round and round. But
right.
To bring it back around, no, I knew that was not for me personally. So at like 17 and a half, that was it. I was done with it all. I don't remember, honestly, being in the Army. I don't remember us drinking heavily at all. Maybe some people did. I know we maybe did a couple of times, but I don't remember doing anything to the point of falling down, falling down drunk or anything like that. So
no,
we
didn't.
That was kind of. I spent a lot of years doing that, probably in my 30s after having a couple of kids and starting to play in a cover band in a bar. I might have maybe started drinking again. But I got to be careful because of so many instances of parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles being alcoholics in my family. It would be so easy for me to go down that road that I can't. For me, my personal choice is I just can't do it, because
right.
If I did do it, a little bit turns into a little bit more, and so on and so forth. So.
Exactly. I've been through that myself, to having one, and I can handle one, and then the next thing you know, before you know it, I'm drinking 18-pack, and then I'm switching to vodka. So I feel the same way. I don't believe that one beer is going to bring someone to hell, but for this guy and for you, it's not in the plan, that's for sure.
I have to confess. Yeah, well, I do too, but I have to confess, I'm addicted to tea, like hot tea, British tea, English tea. I drink a lot of tea. That's my outlet in life, I guess, if you will. So that's how I cope. I don't need alcohol. I don't crave it. I don't buy it. We don't keep it in the house. The most alcohol I get is communion at church on Sundays. That's about it. Sip. That would be about the beginning and the end of it for me. So
little sip of wine.
Yeah.
So hey, we were in the military together, and I would consider that we were serving God together in the military. Now, I don't know if you remember one incident, but we wanted to have a Bible study in the barracks, and we were shut down. Do you remember that?
Yep, I do. I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It was when people talk about the ability for, if you're a Christian, how things get shut down, even now in 2019, it's bad in a lot of places, but even back in the 80s, it was, they kind of tolerated it, but they weren't going to let you, like us, try to do a Bible study or pray, or we were allowed to go to chapel, but that was the extent of it, and that's it. Or we were allowed to go off base and go to a church somewhere on our own time, but we were not allowed to do anything on the premises. And I remember getting very frustrated about that, and I knew you did as well. So,
yeah, because they told us that we had to have the chaplain present if we were going to do that.
Yep.
And then we talked to the chaplain, and he wanted to do it his way, and he told us we can't be talking about Jesus, we can't be talking about deliverance, and it was like, yeah, okay, forget it. We'll just do our own thing. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember, I mean, I think I know you and Barb and Dory and I, when we started going to South Sam Christian Fellowship, there was a couple of times I would go to the Episcopal Church, which was in Gig Harbor around the other way from Tillicum and Fort Lewis there. But I think we learned and we were able to start getting some of our fellow soldiers you know, inviting them to church. Not that a bunch came, but, you know, we saw the fruits of it with, like, people in my own wedding. You know, you and Dennis. And it's funny how, I told you earlier, it's funny how God brings these people into your lives and keeps them there. And it's, I can count on one hand, maybe two, the closest humans on this planet that I care so deeply about, you being one of them, Dennis being another. Even though we're on opposite ends of the country,
yeah,
every now and again I get a note, I get a text, I get an email, I get a phone call, I get a whatever, you know, hey, how you doing? And we catch up, and it's like we're right back in the 80s all over again, talking, never missed a beat, you know.
Right. Well, that's true friendship right there. I mean, a true friend. You could go 10 years without talking to them or having any contact, and then all of a sudden they're there, and it's like they never left, you know? So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, praise God. So now you got married in South Sound Christian Fellowship. I remember that. And for people that don't know, we're talking about Washington State. That is on the west coast of the United States. And so you had gotten married there, and then you, your wife, Dory, you know, you started, you know, being husband and wife and everything like that. Now, we ended up leaving the military. And for me, when I left the military, when I came to Cape Cod here, I don't know. I just had a hard time finding a church and just, I don't know, sticking with the stuff, so to speak. Now, how was it for you?
Well, when I got here, I actually wanted to stay in, as you remember. You may or may not remember, but I had a very bad experience talking with the recruiter, because, you know, at that time in our lives, shortly after we were married, my wife had to have a major surgery, and
right.
If I reenlisted, they were going to send me to Korea on the DMZ for 13 months unaccompanied, and the recruiter said to me, just leave her here, she'll be fine, somebody will look after her. And I looked at him, I said, are you serious? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, I stood up right in front of him. I said, we're done. We're so done. And I walked out, and I remember going home, and I told her, I said, I'm out. I'm done. We're leaving. And I'm going back to Florida. So fast forward, we get back to Florida. I would say probably once I got involved in, you know, getting a job, we got our own place, a real, really, really small apartment. Both of us couldn't be in the kitchen at the same time. That's how small the apartment was. But we made it. I mean, and, you know, we go back. I don't know how it was for you and Barb, but for some of your listeners, it was back in those days, making $10 an hour or less was actually really good money. So we had to make a decision. Were we having hot dogs or macaroni and cheese for dinner? Not both, one or the other, for several years until we got better jobs. So, but yeah,
yeah,
bouncing kind of from church to church of, you know, we would go to a, you know, a charismatic church here. We'd go to a Baptist church. We'd go to a Methodist church. We'd go to a Church of Christ. We'd go to, and trying to find a place to plug in. And, you know, me being a musician, the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, oh, let's get you playing. Let's put you in the worship team.
Right.
And I didn't realize it at the time. I do now as I'm older. But like you and I have talked about in the past, I could be on a worship team serving, and I would open my eyes, and 5, 6, 7, 8 years would go by, and I'd go, what just happened? What did I miss, you know? And
yeah,
because it's so consuming, the amount of time and effort that you have to put into it, because unfortunately a lot of churches do focus a lot on the entertainment value of the worship service itself, which
right.
shouldn't be, but that's kind of what society demands, if you will. You know, you go to a church, oh man, they've got the best worship team, or it's like a rock concert, or it's a, you know, you've seen it, you see it up there, just like we see it here.
Yep.
And it's funny how God has humbled me now so much to the point, all these years later, I'm in a church with a gentleman that plays organ and a guy who plays acoustic guitar. We don't have this big, large band that, you know, and it's absolutely fine. And we do hymns and we do contemporary Christian music, and mm-hmm. we lead however, you know, how they kind of a structured hymnal, but they're able to pull in and different, you know, contemporary Christian songs, stuff that you would know, stuff that your listeners would know. And it's really, really exciting, I will say, to kind of come full circle from where I remember growing up. And my thing has always been what I refer to as the Bible's the Word of God, as we know. That's a given. But
mm-hmm.
the Book of Common Prayer and the whole emphasis on the Eucharist or Holy Communion, to me, is where it was at and where I was missing for so many years. And I didn't realize it because, you know, we'd go to some churches and they would do communion like, oh, once a quarter, or once whenever we feel like it, or once if there's enough people, or if we even remember to do it. And I was kind of program from a young child, I guess, that every Sunday you took communion, every Sunday you went, you kind of did your confession before the communion and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of missed that for a lot of years, but I think those years in between of finding out how other people do church helped me in a lot of ways, because I'm able to kind of reach out to people and talk to them kind of in their own language. And I don't, you know, so it's not threatening to people or talking down to them, just kind of telling them, you know, here's my experiences. This is where I come from. This is me. This is what makes me tick. And this is what Jesus has done in my life. Okay.
Right. Amen. So now for people that are listening, you know, I hate saying religion and all this other stuff, but you tend to fall under the Anglican side of things. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Anglican is a term that came out of England, obviously, and it meant the, you know, Church of the English or the English Church. And
okay.
back in the early 2000s, there was kind of a breakup in the Episcopal Church over some issues, doctrinal and otherwise. And the group of Africans, bishops and primates, kind of brought some sponsors to the United States, and they grew what started as like the Anglican Mission in America, which turned into the Anglican Mission in Europe as well, and the Anglican Church planted in the United States of America, if you will, early on, kind of early to middle 2000s, if I have my dates correct. I might be off, around about 2003, 4, 5, something like that. I didn't know about it initially because I wasn't part of that church. I was still kind of what you would classify non-denominational.
Yeah.
Which really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because there's a difference between loving God, loving people, and being religious, okay? Or
right.
I don't know a better way to term it. I don't like to use that in a negative connotation or say it negatively, because religion is kind of the foundation of this country as it is in a lot of places around the world. Some good, some bad. There's been, you know, some things in the history of the world that, you know, we wish we could get a do-over on. But for better or for worse, those that serve God, those that believe and put their trust in Jesus Christ, those are the people that you need to surround yourself with, and then you go out and you minister to others, and you get those others interested, tell them the truth, tell them about your life, tell them your personal testimony, and plant the seed, and hopefully at some point in their life they make a decision and they come to know the truth, they come to know the joy, the victory in salvation, the ability to, I don't look at it as a burden at all. You know, when people say, well, it's a list of do's and don'ts, it's a list of I can't, it's a list of I won't, it's all about getting to a point in your life where you can stop doing those things that are destructive to you, your family, to other people, the world around you, and make a difference. That's what it's about. It's a complete turning about of the things that cause issues in your life and to you, your family, and others, and turn around from that and go in a direction that is, you know, you've said it, I'm sure, on your show a dozen times, but it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about loving people, you know?
Amen. Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard sometimes to love people. It really is, especially if people hurt you, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So, and I'm still learning that. At 55 years old, I'm still learning how to love. And sometimes it's difficult, but I do my very best. And I don't know. I've known you a long time, Lou. I don't have a problem telling people. I tell people all the time. I talk to God like he's my best friend. I talk to him all the time. People probably see me mumbling going down the street, or if I'm in church or if I'm in the grocery store or whatever. You know, I pray for people, and for kiddos and people in trouble. That's kind of my wife and I's thing, if you will, because we love children. We hate to see little children suffer, young people suffer and go through things. And, you know, I see it a lot, and I just, you know, I'll stop doing whatever I'm doing. You know, just, Lord God, please put somebody in their path. Put, you know, give them something to be happy about. Change their parents' hearts. Send them to a school that a teacher can make a difference. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it boils down to having a heart for people, having compassion, just like Christ had compassion for us. You know, we sort of emulate that with other people, you know, and we see them going through trials and tribulations, and we want them to have peace, just like we have peace in Christ. And, you know, and that's perfectly a normal thing, I think, for a Christian to want to see people in a better state than they're in, you know?
Absolutely. You know, it always, I kind of write this down in every Bible that I have and have had, and I have several. I have an addiction. See, that's another thing. I go to, like, the Goodwills and the Salvation Armies, and I rescue Bibles, and I told you that. Same thing
you
do. I can't leave a Bible behind, because that's an opportunity to give a Bible to somebody that doesn't have one. So I go into a, you know, Goodwill and look through their books, and I sometimes walk out with an armload of books, and most of them being Bibles, you know, and then I give them away, or I give them to friends, and then in turn those friends give them away to people who don't have them. And I remember that goes back years and years ago when we went to a really big church around here. There was a family, a young couple, that used to walk to church with their baby in a stroller on a busy highway. And the father used to go to the library and check out a Bible because they didn't have enough money to buy one. So my wife and I used to take them to and from church every Sunday, and we bought them a Bible. And ever since then, it's always been kind of a passion of mine that if I see somebody or know somebody or meet somebody that doesn't have a book, I'm like, hold on, let me go to my car. I'll get you one. And I give them one, you know? So,
yeah, but, it's always good to have Bibles on hand.
Absolutely. You're talking about peace. This verse I tend to write to swing it back around. Sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent there.
No, go ahead.
Philippians chapter 4, talking about rejoicing in the Lord always. One of my favorite verses always is Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, or guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, it can't be any simpler than that, you know? Protect, guard your heart, look forward, strive to be better. None of us will ever be perfect, ever, ever, ever. We can be as religious and try to be as perfect and holy as we want, but you know what? At the end of the day, we're not. We'll never be that. But God loves us so much that he sees Jesus in each and every one of us. And that's what we should strive to be, is to be like Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And then, come on, those are all the elements of the character of a Christian right there, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll move it along a little bit here. And
okay.
So now you did what you did. You got out of the army. You played in bands. You did your thing, so on and so forth. Now you ended up, now we're talking about the Anglican Church, the church that you belong to now. So now you become a member, or you're going to that church. Now, you told me that you're in a place where something special is going on. You're going to seminary. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm basically in what they call the diaconate program, which is once I finish the program, because I'm married, I got a special compensation from the Archbishop that I don't have to go live in a dorm somewhere for 6 months or 8 months, but I have to go through the same exact training, the same exact in-hours training within the church. I have to be sponsored by a bishop and a priest, and I have another sponsor who is, he's already been ordained a deacon for many years, but it takes basically twice as long to do it this way, but it's the same program. And at the end of it, November 1st of this year, actually, I will be ordained as a deacon for my church and for our church, the Anglican Church. And basically, how to break it down, for any of your listeners that are familiar with the Catholic Church, or even perhaps maybe some Orthodox somewhere in some parts of the world do have deacons, they kind of serve either the priest and or the bishop. Most of them may be assigned to, it could be they'd be assigned to a parish or a satellite church or something like that. Basically, I can lead service. I can't consecrate the elements because that's a priest-only function. But I could basically marry people. I can baptize and perform burials if need be. And in the event that the priest is out of town, then I would lead a different type of service.
Okay.
But basically, you know, kind of his right-hand man, if you will. But what they classify the deacons are is basically we are the front line to the church. We are the ones to go out to the margins and communicate with those people and show them the love and show them the kindness and the compassion, to show them that the church is not the big bad wolf, or, you know, I don't want to go there, or, you know, fill in the blanks, whatever adjective you want to pick. But we're kind of that front line defense, if you will, to get the folks to come in and experience. And we go out there, like, I'll be doing hospital visits, taking communion to people in rest homes, hospitals, if they're sick at home and they can't show up for church, you know, kind of stuff like that. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome. So you're basically just ministering to people, you know, on like almost like the first line of, you know, now would a deacon, would they be considered more like an evangelist maybe, where you're going out and, you know, bringing the word of God to people?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said earlier today, briefly, God's got something planned for me. I don't know exactly what. I could probably speculate a bit, but I think it has to do with evangelizing. I don't know if it's going to be to musicians, other musicians, younger people out on the streets. I'm not sure, but something's coming, and I'm just sitting back patiently and waiting kind of for all the tiles to fall in place, if you will.
Right.
And it's funny you said evangelizing, because we had a visitor who didn't know me from Adam, okay? She came out of the Mormon church for many, many years. She was on CBN. She gave her testimony for a lot of years. She had to spend in hiding from some folks that I guess didn't want her to leave the church, or they were, I don't know, upset with her or what have you. But she came and gave her testimony at our church, and I introduced myself, hey, how are you? And she grabbed a hold of my hand and she said, you are going to be an evangelist. She didn't know me from Adam, okay? And this was about 3 or 4 months ago. And I'm like, okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you. And she goes, no, you're going to be an evangelist. And I said, that's when I start thinking, like I said earlier, I talk to God like he's my best friend. I've asked many times, like, are you sure about this? Are you really sure you want me to do this? You might need to find another guy. I might not be the right guy for this. So, yeah. So, you know, I have my moments that I get kind of the self-doubt creeps in, and I get scared, but I just keep every day. I do my prayers every day. I read every day. I do the very best that I can do to try to make a change some way, somehow in the world, even if it's to one person, even if it's to somebody at the gas station or down the block or walking around the neighborhood or my neighbors or what have you, you know?
Yeah. But Jesus Christ is in the forefront of it all, right?
Well, I guess the radical side will come out in me. If it's not about Jesus, then there is nothing. I'm sorry. There's
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen. Hallelujah. So now you're doing your internship or whatever for the deacon. So now when this all comes to pass and you're ordained and everything, now and what will happen? You still work in your job and you just take part in the church and its events and everything like that? Is that what happens?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go one of two paths. I could stay what is termed in kind of within our denomination, if I don't like to call it that, but within our group of the Anglican Communion worldwide, they have two different kind of paths. They have what's called the transitional and the permanent. The transitional deacon usually spends a year or two kind of learning the ropes and kind of honing their skills and reaching out and taking part in the programs, giving more and more responsibility from the bishop, from the priest of the church. And then when they feel that that person, whether it be he or she, is ready, then a transitional path would be the next ordination would be to a priest. Or they have what's known as a permanent deacon, where they have permanent deacons in kind of the Lutheran Church, the Methodists, Presbyterians, several other churches, where they may be in charge of, say, marriage counseling services mm-hmm. for the church, or the music ministry, or the outreach, or the inreach, or whatever program, construction for the church, or something like that. That would be kind of a permanent position to where that's their job. And I'm not going to be at that point, because our church is still kind of young, and we're in a community that is kind of not very, the average salary in the community that we're in is kind of lower than kind of the national or state average. So
yeah.
We've got our work cut out for us, and we minister to these folks, and there's a lot of folks that are addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever, and we invite those folks to movie nights and church and
uh-huh.
functions and yard sales, and you know, we just come up with different programs. So what I'm in charge of is not me, but the group of us is, we have an outreach ministry in our church, so it's our responsibility to go out and reach out to the neighborhood, the surrounding area, and kind of bring them in if they're willing, bring them to if they're willing, and show them the love of Christ through events and movie nights and food and, you know, stuff
right.
like that.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm going to be a permanent deacon. I don't know if I'm going to be a transitional deacon and someday be a priest. I don't know. That's up to God. That's not up
yep.
to me. You know, I'll know, just like I knew when the call came, it was literally like somebody picking up the telephone is the best way I can describe it. I told my wife, and I actually asked my priest too, and my friend who's a deacon, and I called him on the phone. I was scared to death. I said, dude, am I going crazy? This is what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was literally like a phone call. My priest walks by me and looks at me, and he holds his hand up the night before, and he looks at me and he goes, yes. And I said, okay, Father, not a problem. I'm saying yes, because I've said yes a dozen times, you know, didn't think anything of it. He goes on his merry way. The archbishop, who I had known less than half an hour, talks to me a couple hours later, and he goes, I noticed you've been talking to a couple of folks tonight, haven't you? And I said, yes, Bishop, I have. And he goes, let me tell you something, young man. God's got plans for you. And I said, okay, Bishop, I don't know what they are, but I'm sure, you know, you've heard
mm-hmm.
that before. So I'm like, okay, I'm listening, I'm attentive. Well, the next night during the ordination for my priest, you could feel the Holy Spirit in that church. It was unbelievable. And the funny thing about it was, I met another priest who I didn't know was actually the priest of that church. And I'm looking at the stained glass windows. This is the same church that I grew up in. And I didn't know that we were going there for this ordination. They told
wow.
me to show up, be a part of it. And I'm looking at the stained glass windows, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, something's changed here. So the priest walks by me, and I said, excuse me. And I said, is this your church? And classic response. He goes, No, it's not my church. This is Jesus' church. I just work here. So, anyways, at the end of the night, I knew that I was being called. It was literally like a telephone call, like picking up the phone. Hello? Yes,
yeah.
I'm listening. Absolutely. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. I know that may sound hokey to some people, but I promise you, it was that real to me. I knew it in my spirit. I knew it in my heart that I could finally let go of not worrying about playing music, not worrying about anything else, that this was going to be the next chapter in my life. So fast forward, I'm going to continue to work my job, yes, until hopefully retirement or until hopefully whatever the next step is, whether it's transitional deacon to a priest or it's a permanent deacon, that I may end up in a church somewhere and have a job, and that's what I'll do to serve for the rest of my days on this earth.
Yeah, but you're committed. You are signed, sealed, and delivered. Committed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, it's scary. It really is. It's absolutely scary because I always thought, and you knew this, I told you this, I remember telling you this, and I remember telling pastor at South Sound that I always thought that I would never amount to anything that didn't involve music. I always thought that was my thing in life, that I could never be kind of a whole person unless I was playing music. And I loved it, believe me. I was bold when we were touring around playing in our Christian metal band. We were as bold as you could be, and I had no problem talking to people about Jesus. I had no problem talking to people who were self-professed witches, Satanists, whatever. They didn't scare me not one bit. But let me tell you what scares me more than anything else is getting up in front of people without a guitar, with a Bible in your hand, and trying to preach or trying to relate a testimony to people staring back at you, and you're just going, your insides are in a million knots, and you're going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know?
It's like so, that old saying they say, think of everyone being in their underwear or whatever. I don't know. That just comes to mind. But I've preached in front of people, in some cases, thousands of people, and I know what you're talking about. It's humbling. It really is. And then to be put on the spot, like, I'm going to say, can dictate pretty much what's going to happen out there with people. You know, if I say something wrong, what's going to happen if they never come back to God? You know, and it's almost like you feel a burden. You feel a burden. But that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. And, you know, I don't know about you, but in my life, there's been times where I've been up preaching in front of people, and I don't know what I said, but people will come up and go, oh, that was awesome, man. That was, and I'm like, I don't know what I said. I really don't. So the Holy Ghost takes over, man. So, but, you know, hey, we're bringing something that is more valuable than gold, and that's the Word of God, you know? So, yeah. And we do it humbly, you know. We have a reverence for the Word of God. We have a reverence for God. So I think it's only normal that, you know, you get all choked up and, like, a little bit nervous and everything. I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
doesn't sound healthy, but.
Well, kind of my roadmap or my words to live by, you're familiar with it. I mean, you know your Bible, but for kind of words that go all the way back that resonate in my soul from 1979, December 5th, talking to that missionary from South America, he told me, he said, words to live by this, Luke 6, 36, 37, 38. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put yep. into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now, different versions read different things. This happens to be New King James, but the NIV says, you know, different verses, King James, so on, so forth. But the other prayer that I have, that has stuck with me for years and years, it comes out of the Book of Common Prayer. I don't have the exact page number. I can find it. I'll send it to you. But basically, the prayer is, O God, the source of eternal light, shed forth your unending day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our worship on the morrow give you glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In other words, we watch, we're watchful, we're compassionate, mm-hmm. we praise him. We live our lives that we may, that he may bless us, that we may bless others, and we give him the glory, not ourselves. And
Amen.
That kind of, that's kind of my roadmap. That's, and do I fall short? Absolutely. Every day, probably several times a day, but I do my very best. I really do. And
yeah.
I'll never stop trying, you know, because I'm human. Just like the rest of us, we're all humans, we're all prone to mistakes, we're all prone to sin, and it's not one sin is worse than the other, it's everything together. It's saying something that's, you know, cruel or not being nice or not helping somebody when you know it'll take you 2 minutes to help somebody, you know? I don't
right.
feel like it, or I don't want to, or I'm having a bad day, or... You know, I always strive to have more better days and good days than bad days. And I will say I do have more good days than bad days. I do have my days that, you know, sometimes I don't really want to be bothered, or I get frustrated, or something happens, or something's said, or, you know, somebody may say something to me. But like you said, I have to be very careful and very watchful and be very prudent in what I say to people, that I don't lead them astray, because the last thing I want to hear is somebody say, well, Kevin said this and that
yeah.
is not correct, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I try to be studied up. I try to be very matter of fact. I don't try to read into stuff. I read what the word says, and if you ask my opinion of what I think it means, then I'll say this is what I think it means, but let's see what the word says. Let's read on. Let's study, and you tell me what you think it means. And my priest, who's a dear friend, tells me the best way to communicate with people is not to dictate to them the conversation, and not tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Have them read something, and you ask them, well, what does that mean to you? How do you think that applies in your life? What do you think God is trying to tell you? Or what do you think the red words in Matthew chapter 6 mean, or Luke, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to get that feedback coming back at you, if you will, okay?
Right, but it's also engaging them. They're getting
exactly.
engaged in the word also, you know.
Exactly.
So, amen. Well, we're running out of time here, but that's a great testimony, man. That just, you know, the thing that blows my mind is what you said about the church. They're like full circle. This is the church that I used to go to when I was a kid. I mean, how uncanny is that,
it is.
Man?
It is. I promise you it is. I promise you, I was absolutely floored. I had no idea. Up until like a few days before, because they originally were going to do it in our church both nights, but then my priest had some other priests that were coming, and they the Father Patrick, who happens to be the rector at that church now where I grew up at, he volunteered to allow the ordination to happen at that church. And when I walked through the doors, it was like, I can't describe it. It was like, wow. You know?
Excuse me.
So from 1979 until 2018, I hadn't been in that church. I hadn't been there and didn't know anything about it and walked back in. Of course, they flipped it around. They built it bigger. They made it. It was absolutely beautiful. But it was so stunning and so very real how you could feel the presence of God in the place. And it wasn't just me. It was other people going, what's going on in here? You know, what is going on in here? So, and, you know, it does happen. And it wasn't just reserved for that church, because I've been to other churches where you can definitely feel God's presence and people ministering through the word, through music, through testimony, through, you know, anything, whatever. It doesn't have to be focused on a particular, you know, part of the service or part of the program or part of the music or song or whatever. But I was just so absolutely blown away. And that's why I said it was like answering the telephone from God and God telling me what I'm going to be doing. And it was that simple. It really was. And sometimes me, I'm an engineer, I always have to make things difficult because I'm always looking for the problems and how to fix them. And, I mean, that's the way I was trained. You always look for – you take something and you try to break it, and then you make it better so it doesn't break the next time or the third time or the fifth time. And that's what I've been doing. And I'm trying to process all this, and finally it was like, just be still and listen. Be still, listen, sit back, and answer. Take the answer. Yeah. This is what you're going to do. And I asked my friend, then I asked my priest, and I said, this is what I feel like I'm being called to. I don't know anything about it. Help me. You know, what do I need to do? So, you know, I have a personal sponsor. I have a partner that's also going through the same program. I have a sponsor in my archbishop. I also have a sponsor who's another deacon. And there's a couple other priests that are kind of, I'm going to have to go to at some point. And not that they're going to quiz me, but they're going to kind of make sure that I'm ready to do this, because at the end of the day, if the bishop doesn't feel like I'm ready to do this, he doesn't have to ordain me. I'd have to start all over again. So, you know, this is keep me in prayer if you would, because not just me, but my wife, my family, and you know that I'm courageous in this, that I'm bold enough in this, that I'm learned and I know what I'm doing. And I'm prepared. Prepared is, I guess, the best word.
Well, I have no doubt that the Holy Ghost is going to keep you prepared. He's going to get you all prepared, and everything will come to pass as it should be. Amen.
Amen.
I'll definitely keep you in my prayers, though. And anyone else out there, if you want to keep Kevin in your prayers, we'll fill you in at some point and let you know how things are going. All right, man. So, hey, is there any last parting words you'd like to tell anyone before we end the show here?
I would say it's all about, and I know it sounds simple, but if you break it down to the simplest of terms, okay, And I'm going with this. It just came to me. The simplest of terms of love the Lord your God with everything that you have. Every day, get up and strive to be a better person, a better witness, a better neighbor, a better friend, a better father, a better mother, a better son, daughter, whatever the case may be, and when we're commanded to love thy neighbor as thyself, okay, we love ourselves. We all know that. We're all human. We love all about us, all about ourselves. We love doing stuff, buying stuff. I mean, we know that. But loving your neighbor as yourself, as much as you profess to love God, we are to show that same love, if possible, to our neighbor, whoever that neighbor may be, cross town, cross state, cross country, cross the telephone, cross the email, whatever it is. Find a kind word to say to people. Instead of lining up on a blackboard, we talk about this in church, putting on a blackboard, well, this sin, your sin's worse than my own. And, you know, before you pull the plank or the toothpick out of somebody else's eye, arm, or hand, pull the plank out of your own eye and realize that it's not about ranking of sin. We're all sinful. We all fall short. We always will, no matter what. But we have the joy to know that our Lord and Savior gave up everything in the world for us because he loved us that much, okay? And that's the best way I can say it, is it's all about love, absolutely about love. Now, this doesn't mean you be a doormat, but you love people and you strive to love them, and you strive to be better, and you strive to help, and you plant those seeds, and sooner or later, the more seeds that are planted, the more people that will come into the kingdom, and the more people will be full of joy, full of love, full of compassion, and want to show that excitement to other people, you know, their neighbors, their friends, whatever.
Right.
Okay. That's about the best I can sum it up, if you will. I know it sounds elementary and simple, but it really is that simple. This book we call the Bible is all about love, from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about love, and it's about the different people and different facets. Yeah, there was some bad people, and there were some bad people that did some very bad things, but look how God turned their lives around. Look at the Apostle Paul, okay? Talk about a complete turnaround from where he was to what he became, okay?
Yeah.
Look at some of the people. Look at David. Look at Joshua, Isaac, Jacob. You know, the list goes on and on. So that's what I would encourage you listeners, is to get into the Word and read. Get into a church somewhere. But if you're in a church that people are beating you down or making you feel inadequate or sad or anxious, or if you feel like you can't stay there, or they don't like your hair, or they don't like your clothes, or they don't like whatever, because you and I, Lou, you know, we've been through this for years and years, okay?
Yep.
It's not about that. It's about sharing the love of Christ. And if they are a Bible-believing, sharing the love of Jesus Christ church, it doesn't matter if you show up in shorts and flip-flops. They're going to love you from here to eternity, no matter what. And that's the kind of church to be in.
Amen. You know? Amen. Well, my friend, the time has come.
Yes, sir.
We have to end the show.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming on.
I apologize. We went over.
You don't have to apologize. You don't have to apologize at all. I always allow a little extra time because you never know what God's going to do. But wonderful testimony, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and to, you know, let the people know, you know, your testimony about you and what you're going through. And definitely, you know, we'll pass on as things progress. I can always throw it out there in the show and let people know what's going on with you. Is there a way that people can get a hold of you if they wanted to? You have an email that we could throw out there if anyone wants to get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. Telecaster Kid, TelecasterKid at hotmail.com.
Okay, Telecaster Kid at hotmail.com. Yeah. I'll put that in the episode description. So if someone a week from now listens to it, they can have the email there and they can get in touch with you. Sounds great. Well, give my love to your wife and
I will.
Everyone
I
in
will.
Your family, I appreciate you coming on. It's been a blessing to me, and I'm sure it's been a blessing to the people listening. All right,
well,
my friend.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely honored. Honored and privileged to come on your show. I really appreciate you taking the time. And to all your listeners out there, thank you for listening. I hope I didn't bore people to death. And I pray for each and every one of you listening, a special prayer that God would touch your lives in some way. If there's something going on, if there's anything, whatever it is, give it to him, give it all to him, and sit back. It may not happen overnight, but God has a definite plan for everybody out there, and you'll see fruits. They may be small, they may be down the road a bit, but keep praying earnestly and honestly every day. Pray for change. Pray for hope. Pray for strength. Pray for boldness. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for others to come to Christ. And you'll see how God can make things happen in your life. It's amazing. It absolutely is.
It is. It really is. It's a miracle.
It is. Well, yeah, we can call it a lot of things, but I would definitely say God definitely, when he picked me and he changed my life, it was definitely a miracle because I was a knucklehead. I promise you I was. I was an absolute knucklehead.
I'd say the same thing about me. So me, you, and everyone else out there, all the knuckleheads, God's using us. Praise God, man. All right, my friend. You have yourself a wonderful night. I appreciate you. I'll be talking to you. And you take it easy, okay?
You too, my friend. We love you. Take care.
All right. Hey, love you too. God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. Here we go. That's Kevin from the lovely state of Florida, where he has warm weather and I don't. I'm not bitter, though. Praise God. And if you're wondering, he was referring to Mark chapter 12. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Okay? None greater. We need to love people. Amen. We need to love people with our whole heart, our whole soul, with our whole mind, with our whole being. Amen. So you go forth, you love people, you come in contact with, give them the word of God, and give them your testimony, man. That's what this show is all about, is a testimony. And every one of us has a testimony. Every one of us has a testimony, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We have a testimony. And if you have a testimony of how Christ Jesus has changed your life, just tell someone, man. You may be surprised on what happens. Amen. So, hey, this is Red Words Lou. The end of the show has come. So you catch us next Wednesday night, and I'm going to have Deborah come on. She's from Pennsylvania. She's a person that frequents the ChristianForums.net, and Deborah has a great testimony. We're going to be talking to her and let her wrap up my existence on this radio show because at the end of the month, we're moving over to the TDC Radio Network, so I'll be over there, and I'll be telling you more about that as it goes on. But anyways, we have lots of testimonies, man. But remember yours. Your testimony can change. Hallelujah. All right. So, until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., I'll be back on, and we will be in day 100 and something or another through the Bible, the chronological tour through the Bible. We are in the Book of Psalms, so why don't you join me, and we'll go through some Psalms. We'll get a little bit of wisdom and do a little bit of chatting, and on top of it, I'll throw another sermon in by Smith Wigglesworth. How's that? So until tomorrow morning, this is your host, Redwards Lou. Stay saved. You know what I'm saying?